Rishutchem, just make sure the door is not locked. Okay. Today's daf is daf Yud. Today's class should be for the refuah. Shalom of all the cholim. Rifrat. Shalom ben Tzara. David ben Rachel. Yafa ben Deborah. Rivka ben Yochev. Rivka ben Esther. Shalom ben Esther. Ephraim ben Leah. Moshe ben Chana. Yafa ben Miriam. Yehuda ben Yafa. Chaya Sara ben Simcha. Rachel ben Chana. David ben Esther. Simcha ben Malka. Udavdil ben Mishma. Yosheva bat Aaron. Aaron ben Yitzchak. And Binyamin ben Yitzchak. Okay. We are on Daf Ten Amud Bet. We're about 8 lines on the bottom. It's good. Excuse me. Okay, we're about 8-10 lines from the bottom. We're discussing. We're still going on the rain. Hopefully, B'zad Hashem, we're going to start a new Mishnah today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Ein Cheker L'Tvunato. We're on the last three words of the line. Keman Azla HaDichtiv. Who does this pasuk go like? Right, we brought a machloket between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, Mashke Harim Maliotav. Right, this is a pasuk that's talking about Hashem Himself. It's in Tehillim. David HaMelech writes, so the pasuk is saying specifically, who is the one who is pouring water on the harim maliotav, from the upper spots, he's pouring water onto the mountains. So the Gemara says, "V'amar Rabbi Yochanan ma'aliotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." He says, what is this pasuk referencing to? From the ma'aliotav shel Hashem, the upstairs of Hashem. And so therefore it's bringing it down from Hashem, he's bringing it down. So he says, Keman, who is this like? Rabbi Yoshua. This goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, right? We had a machloket earlier on. If we say that the water they were drinking, right, was the water Maim Elyonim, was it the upper waters, or was the water from the Okyanus, that we say in Persian means ocean, right? So this goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, who says it's the upper waters from upstairs. And he says, Rabbi Eliezer, and what does Rabbi Eliezer do with this pasuk? Kivan de Selki Lahatam, Mashke Maliotav Karilehu. Rabbi Eliezer has his own shita. We said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what happens? You have the water in the ocean, in the Okyanus, and that water goes up into the clouds, and then in the clouds it sweetens it and it brings it back down. So he says, from the fact that it goes up into the clouds, that's when you call it Maliotav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it went up into the clouds. So he also would agree in this pasuk that that's how it's referencing. But he still says it comes from the downstairs water. If you don't say this, avak ve'afar min hashamayim, this pasuk that it says the dust and the ashes from shamayim, echi mashkachala, where do we have it? Ela kevan de madle lahatam min hashamayim. So rather, what is it saying? Since it goes up to the heavens, it comes up from here to the heavens, and therefore from the heavens, it's called min hashamayim. It's called from heaven. Achaname kevan de selki lahatam maliotav karele. So too, Rabbi Eliezer would say that since the waters evaporate and they go up into the clouds, and then they come back down, they are considered water that comes from the skies. So he says, keman azla hadam Rabbi Chanina. Who does it go like this opinion? That which Rabbi Chanina said. Kones. The pasuk says, kones kaned mehayam noten beotzarot teomot. He says, "Mi garam leotzarot sheitmalu bar? Who caused the storages to be filled with tevua, with wheat? Tehomot kerebi Eliezer. It was the tehomot, the depths of this world down here. The water is not the upstairs water. So it goes like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua. What does Rabbi Yeshua do with this pasuk? Ha'u bebriato shel olam. He's saying this pasuk is actually going on the bria of the world, on the creation of the world. That in the beginning, all of the water was, let's say, covering the whole world, and Hashem came and He gathered all the water together in one spot, and that's how He made the oceans and the dry land. So that's what he's saying. He says referring to the creation of the world. Tanu Rabbanan, Eretz Yisrael. Now the next couple lines we're going to be going on the chashivut of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael nivret techila v'kol ha'olam kulo nivre levasof. Eretz Yisrael was first created, and then only afterwards the rest of the world was created. Shneimar ad lo asa eretz vechutzot. Right, so the pasuk references to the Eretz Yisrael first, and then it talks about chutzot outside of Eretz Yisrael. Then it says Eretz Yisrael mashke ota kadosh baruch hu be'atzmo v'kol ha'olam kulo al yedei shaliach. Eretz Yisrael is given water by Hashem Himself. People drink from the water from Hashem Himself, whereas the rest of the world is only given water by a messenger from Hashem. Shneimar.
Huh?
Right, but he's saying he assigns a messenger for each and every place, and for Eretz Yisrael he himself brings down the water. Shneimar hanoten matar al pene eretz, he brings down rain to the world, to the Eretz Yisrael. V'sholeach ma'im al pene chutzon, and it says he sholeach ma'im, he sends water by the shaliach for the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael shoteh megeshamim mikol ha'olam kulo mitamtzit. right? Eretz Yisrael drinks the rainwater, and the rest of the world only drinks the leftovers from what was left from the cloud. Sheneemar hanoten matar al penei eretz, he uses the same pasuk that referencing to Eretz Yisrael being the more chashuv one. So the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael shotet techila, v'kol ha'olam kulo lebasof, Eretz Yisrael first drinks, and only thereafter the rest of the world gets to drink. Sheneemar hanoten matar al penei eretz, and then it says, talks about chutz la'aretz. First takes Eretz Yisrael, and then chutz la'aretz. So the Gemara says, mashal la'adam, shemegabel et ha'gvina, notel et ha'ochel u'maniach d'psolet. So he says this is like a parable to a man who is making cheese, and he takes the food and he leaves the psolet, the non-edible parts, like the sediments. So how do they explain it over here? I think they explain it over here that first he takes for himself. Right? He takes for himself what he wants. So the way they explain that is Shemashke Otabe Atzmo. Hashem himself is giving Eretz Yisrael the water, and then only afterwards he sends the messenger for everywhere else. Then it says Etagvina, which is the cheese, it's referencing to the water, which is the Ikar. And then the third thing is Techila. So it says first he takes his food, and only thereafter he takes away the sediment. What is that referencing to? That first he gives water to Eretz Yisrael, and only there afterwards to Kol HaOlam Kulo.
So is it different, the quality of the rain of Eretz Yisrael in other places? If it's still
full and plus, I don't know if it's different quality, but it's saying the leftovers is for the rest of the world, and the fresh water, I'm sure there's something deeper behind it, but I think it's just like showing us the chashivut of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara then says, Amar Mor, mitmatekin hen be'avim minale. How do we know that the water gets sweetened in the clouds? The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, k'tiv. The pasuk says in Tehillim, it says Cheshkat Ma'im Ave Shechakim Uchtiv, and then after that it says, I think it's actually in Shemuel HaNavi, he says Chashrat Ma'im Ave Shechakim. So the words Cheshkat and Chashrat are very similar words. So the Gemara says Shakol Kaf Veshade Arish. Take the Kaf from Cheshkat and throw it next to the Rish of Chashrat. And he says, "V'karei be chasharat," that it's sweetening. He uses the two words that are referring to the same type of
pasuk. Yeah, change the letters.
Yeah, exactly. You can machshir the rain by it. The water at first is not sweet; it comes up into the clouds, and that makes it sweet. And so he's using these two psukim referring to that topic, saying that it's coming to sweeten it. Rabbi Yeshua behani krae my darshibehu. What is Rabbi Yeshua who said it comes from the upper waters? How does he explain these pesukim? Savarla ki hadachi ata Ravdimi Amar. So when Ravdimi came and he said, Amri b'marava, they said in Eretz Yisrael, Nahor anane ze'irin mohe. He says that when the clouds are, there's lots of light coming from them, meaning it's a thin cloud, it's not a thick cloud, that shows you that, there's little rain. There's only little rain going to come. Chashochanane, whereas when it's really dark outside and there's very thick, dark clouds, that's when you know, Sagyan Mohi. That's when you know that it's lots of rain coming.
He says Cheshkad, it makes it dark.
Right. Chashoch, like Choshech, like the Pasuk says. Okay? Keman Azlahadetane, who does this Baraita go? Like, Maina Elionim, Bima'amar Hem Tuluim. The upper waters are dependent on one of the Ma'amarot of Hashem. Uperotehen megeshamim, and their fruits, quote unquote, their fruits are the rainwater. I mean, what keeps them going? Shneimar miprima asecha tisba aretz. Who is this like? Right. There's different ways you learn out this pasuk. So he says, Kiman, who is it like? Rabbi Yeshua. It must be the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says that it's the upper waters. It's the maim elyonim that's come down, and that's the rain for the people, and that's the water that they drink. Rather than Rabbi Eliezer, who says no, it's the downstairs water that goes up and comes back down. So the message of Rabbi Eliezer, how does he explain this pasuk? That pasuk, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is going on the creations of Hashem's hands, what Hashem creates. Right? The pasuk says, "Mipri ma'asecha tispa aretz," from the fruit of his hands, of your hands, the world will be satiated. That's talking about the creations of Hashem's hands. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol ha'olam kulo mitamtzin gan eden hu shote. The whole world is drinking from the leftovers of gan eden. Shneimar v'nar yotze me'eden. It says that this river coming out from Eden, we're all still drinking from that. Tana, mitamtzit beit kor shote tarkav. That he says from a leftover of a container, of a beit kor. Beit kor is a very big measurement. You would be drinking a tarkav, which is maybe like 1/60th of it, that is left over in that kli. Okay? I'm going to stop for questions. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, all these things are upper water, downward. How we do it? We can't even do scientifically, we can't even explain it, right?
No, so I guess even the scientists, I think, would agree that the way the water works is it evaporates, it goes up into the clouds, and then it comes back down.
Okay.
Right? So that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer.
So what is upper water, lower water?
No, everybody has to agree there's upper water.
Right. The question just says where it comes from, essentially, meaning if it comes from down, goes up, and then comes back down.
It's split in Bereshit, there's upper waters.
Right. When it says, yeah, there's a higher Rakia, there's a lower Rakia, there's upper waters, lower waters.
But it's not like, you know, Hashem like has in 7-7.
No, I think it's just saying where essentially the water is stemming from. Where is the source? Is the source, it comes from down, it goes up and then comes back down, or it comes from up and then just comes down? Is it Maim Elyonim, that it's coming from Hashem's storage, or is it coming from down here and then it comes back up and comes back down?
Mabul came from Maim Elyonim. They say that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was separated between the water down here and up.
Yeah, the Gemara.
Yeah, there is water.
We saw the Gemara on Masechet Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says he opened up one of the mazalot named Kima, I think it was, and he let out the Mabul. We saw it was a crazy Gemara over there.
Scientifically, the water is the edim, the evaporation of the ocean that goes up, becomes cloud, and then comes down.
Not over here, it doesn't say. But when we get to Masechet Chagigah, it will tell us about the different, the seven heavens, the seven different heavens. So it's going to tell us how far it is from each other, how long they are from each other, and stuff like that. We'll get there. That's a much more Kabbalistic idea. I mean, it's not a simple question. Okay, let's jump back into it.
How much
is it? I think a core is 60 tarkav, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Tarkav is 3 kabin. So how much is a kav?
I guess. Yeah, it's a very big area. It's a very big thing 30, of water.
30 size.
Yeah, it's a very big area of water. Imagine like a mikveh of water.
Oh, it says core is 220 liters. Okay.
Right, it's a lot of water. Okay. Okay, we'll continue. Tan Rabbanan. Eretz Mitzrayim havia dalet meot parsa al dalet meot parsa. That Egypt was 400 parsaot by 400 parsaot. It's a very large area. Vu echad mishishim bekush, and it's 1/60 of kush. Vekush echad mishishim ba'olam, and kush is 1/60 of the world. Ve'olam echad mishishim be'gan, and the world is 1/60 of, of Gan. Ve'gan echad mishishim la'eden, and Gan is 1/60 of Eden. Ve'eden echad mishishim le'gehinam, and Eden is 1/60 of downstairs. And himtza kol ha'olam kulo kikisui kedera legehinam. It seems like the whole world is like a cover of a pot to downstairs.
So Gehinom is very big.
That's what the Gemara is saying.
You have to be very lucky to get there.
V'yesh omrim, the Gehinam ain't a shiur. Some say Gehinam does not have a shiur.
Limitless.
It's unlimited amounts of area. V'yesh omrim, Eden ain't a shiur. Some say Gan Eden doesn't have shiur. Amar v'yoshaya, may dechliv shochant. Shochant al maim rabim, rabat otsarot, rabat otsarot, or rabot otsarot, I think it is. Rabat otsarot. So who is it? Is this, what does pasuk mean? Mi garam le bavel shiyu otsarotea meleot bar. Who caused bavel to have its storages filled with wheat? Ave omer, mipnei sheshochenet al maim rabim. Because we can say it's sitting on lots of water. Amarav atira bavel dechatzda belo mitra. Bavel is very wealthy because because it is that they reap even without any rain. They're so wealthy that they don't even need rain and they can still reap their produce. Marbae nakitinan tovaani velo yuvshani. He says so. We are so aware that it's like Bavel was like on a swamp. It was like on a swamp. It wasn't dry. It didn't necessarily have rain, but it was like a swampy place. So that's why they were able to reap. New Mishnah. This is our second Mishnah. Megimel Mar Cheshvan Shu'alin Yidei Geshamim. On the third of Mar Cheshvan, we start requesting for rain, right? V'ten Talam Martel Levracha. This is different than Mazkirin. Mazkirin, we says Mashiv HaRuach, right? Rabban Gamliel Omer B'Shivabo. He says no. On the seventh of Mar Cheshvan, Tedvav Yom Achar HaChag Kedei She'Yagia Acharon Shu Yisrael LeNahar Perat. He says it's 15 days. You have to wait after the Chag so that the last person of Israel will reach Nahar Perat, which is a far place, so he doesn't get stuck, let's say, in the rain. Right. It's Makom rachok biyoter be'Eretz Yisrael, the furthest place in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. He says halacha follows Rabban Gamliel that he said on the seventh. Tanya, Chananya Omer, Uvagola ad Shishim b'tkufa. This is for us. And then outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's the 60th day from the Tkufat Tishrei, from the beginning of the Tishrei season, from like the winter season-ish. Okay, so that's the Gemara over here. They actually bring on a footnote. V'hud b'yom daled b'yom he l'chodesh
December.
Says it's the fourth or fifth on the month of December. It says here. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So yeah, it depends on. Also, we're going to see what it depends on. Amar Rav Huna, Bar Chiya, Amar Shmuel, Alchal keChananya. He said Alchal falos Chananya. Where it says Ini, is that so? V'habau minei Mishmuel. They asked Shmuel, Me'imad Madkirinan v'tental matar. When do we mention v'tental matar? Amar Lahu Mechi Ma'ile Sibei Levet Tovot. Rishba, from the time that we start bringing in the wood to the house of Tovot, Tovot was a hunter. He would hunt animals, hunt birds. Just from the time we start bringing in the wood over there, that's when we would start mentioning it. So it's not the same date as you just mentioned, 60 days after the Tkufa, after the season. So the Gemara says, perhaps we can say that both of them are the same time. Meaning, the time we start bringing in the wood to his home, to the hunter's home, that's the time where it's the 4th or 5th of December. Ibai Elohu. Yom Shishim kelifnei Shishim or kelachar Shishim. Do we say the 60th day is like before 60, or the 60th day itself is like the day after 60? What does that mean? If we view it as the 60th day, not including 60, that means that the 60th day itself we would not mention. Why? Because it's still considered like 59, so to say. It's not 60 yet. Right? If you count the 60, that's it. Yeah. Do we say ad ve'ad or ad ve'ad bechlal or not? Meaning, do we count the 60th day included when we start mentioning it, or we count it as no, it's part of the first 60 days, and only after 60 days do you start mentioning V'ten Tal Matar?
Yeah.
Yes. No, from meaning from Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, yeah, from Shmini Atzeret. 60 days from the Tkuf.
It's always December 5th or 4th or 5th, so it cannot be from Shmini Atzeret.
It's 60 days from the Tkufa of Tishrei, it says. From the Tekufa of Tishrei. Once the month of Tishrei begins, from that Tekufa of the season of Tishrei, it's 60 days from there.
What's the cutoff there? What's the exact day? I
don't know exact day. We have
December,
to look. No, that's the exact day it falls out on. He's saying, when do you start counting 60 days from? So go back 60 days. Count backwards 60 days and you'll find the day.
It's not a Jewish calendar.
Right? It's a
lunar.
It's a lunar. We start with, for what? For
Mashiach, Tental Matar? Yeah, we start with Arvira. Yeah, but that's not the Shishim.
December.
That's the
step.
December
4th. Yeah, if you want, we'll look up.
Autumn equinox is September 22nd. October
20th. This year, December 5th is the Rosh Chodesh Tevet.
October 4th or
5th. Rosh Chodesh Tevet is December 5th.
60 days not after the Shemini Atzeret.
Yeah, it can be.
No, it seems like it's from Tishrei.
Equinox.
Tishrei. It's from Tishrei. 60 days from Tishrei.
What day in Tishrei? Every
beginning of Tishrei. From the beginning of Tishrei. That's what it sounds like.
Always falls on 4th of
Tishrei. It can always be the 4th of
Tishrei.
So I don't know exactly how they count the Cheshbon, but it has something to do with the Tekufa, the season.
Oh, it's Mikhilat Tekufa Shel Tishrei. Yes.
From the beginning of the season of Tishrei. Okay, we'll look into it more. I don't know the clear answer as to when the Tekufa begins in Tishrei. I'll look into it.
It says equinox. The time and the day and the night are the same.
So that's the Gemara's question. Do we count it as before or after? Meaning, is the 60th day included, or is it considered not included, and therefore you would not start mentioning it yet? Tashma, Rav Amar Yom Shishim Kelechar Shishim, Ushmuel Amar Yom Shishim Kelechlifnei Shishim. Rav says it's like after the 60th day, meaning you start mentioning, and Shmuel says no, it's before, like before the 60th, and therefore you don't mention on the 60th day yet. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Bisimanach Ilai Behu Maya Tatai Lo Ba'u Maya, that the uppers, they require water, meaning what? They're asking for water. That's so you have to know how the navigation is, how the people are sitting. I think Rav, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is higher up than Bavel. Right. So you go up so he says Eretz Yisrael is considered the higher one up. So here he's referencing, saying, how do you remember it? The higher one up needs water. The lower one doesn't need water. That's how they mention it. Because Rav said on the 60th day already you start mentioning. Shmuel said no, you wait for day 61. That's how you remember. Shmuel lived in Bavel. Right, Shmuel Bavli. Okay? Amar Papa Hilchata Yom Shishim Kalachar Shishim. He says the halacha is we wait for the day after the day of the 60th. Meaning 60th day is included, that it counts as that's the day you start mentioning. So whenever the tikufa begins, you count 60 days, and on the 60th day you start mentioning from that evening. New Mishnah. Higia Yudzayin Mar Cheshvan V'lo Yaredu Geshamim. If the 17th of Mar Cheshvan arrived and the rain did not fall yet, Itchilu Hayechidim Itanin Gimel Ta'aniot. The individuals will already start. They have to start fasting the three fasts. Or they should start fasting. Yeah, it's Monday, Thursday, Monday. So he says, Ochlim V'Shotin Mishachashicha Mutarim Melacha V'Rechitza V'Sicha. They're allowed to eat, drink. Once it becomes nighttime, they can work. They can wash themselves. They can anoint themselves in ilata sandal. They can wear leather shoes. With tashmish amita, they can sleep with their wives. But during the day, they have to fast. So he says, "Yigia Rosh Chodesh Kislev." If Rosh Chodesh Kislev arrived, v'leiradu geshamim, beitin gozerin shalosh taniot al tzibur. If Rosh Chodesh Kislev arrived and they didn't have rain yet, then the beitin makes a decree that all of the community has to fast. Ochlin v'shotin v'shachashicha, they eat at night, umitarin b'melacha v'rechitza v'tzicha v'neilat sandal v'tashmish amita. They can do all the things they're allowed to do, you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, except for eating and drinking throughout the day. But once nighttime arrives, you're allowed to do all that we just mentioned.
Only Yom Kippur is the right and Tisha B'Av. I mean, you'd be surprised you have to come and spell it out for us. In other words, you would have thought that
you should do exact same type of fast as then, so we can have a break the gzera and bring rain. But he's saying, no, you don't have to do those type of fasts. Man Yechidim, the Gemara says, who are these individuals? Amar Rav Huna, Rabbanan, it's talking about the rabbis. Right, so he says, V'amar Rav Huna, Yechidim mit'anin shalosh taniyot, sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. They fast Monday, Thursday, Monday.
Like
the Behav. Yeah, so he says, Ma'ikon Shalan, what is it coming to teach us? Tanina, Ein gozrin ta'anit ala tzibur, batchila b'chamishi, shalol hafkiya ta sha'arim. He says, you're not allowed to, meaning, why did I have to mention this? We already told us in a braita, I believe, that earlier on, that you don't gozer a fast on the tzibur on Thursday. Why? So as not to break the prices in the shuk. What's going to happen is, if you fast on Thursday, come Thursday night when they want to break the fast, they're going to go into the shuk, Thursday day, to buy their food. And you're going to have people who are buying double foods. Why? For their Thursday night meal and for Shabbat. And everything's going to, they could see, oh wow, there's a lot of demand. They're going to raise their prices. You know? The Gemara understood economics. Right? Exactly. Demand goes up and the prices go up as well. So he says that they're going to all raise their prices. He said to avoid that, we never make a fast commanded by the tzibur for rain fall out on a Thursday.
We started on Monday.
Right. We start from Monday, no matter what.
Elective, is it?
Right. Right, so that's why it's saying we already learned that you start from Monday. Why does it have to say it again over here? Oh, you do Monday, Thursday, Monday fast. We know that already. So the Gemara says, Ela shalosh taniyot harishonot sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. You need to do your first three fasts Monday, Thursday, Monday. Why? Ma'u detem, I would have thought hane milay tzibur aval yachid lo. I would have thought this is only referring to a tzibur, right? What the Mishnah was referring to.
It's like yeah, some say the but, price will be the same. We'll just give you a little bit less.
One second, aval yachid lo, but somebody who's an individual, I would have thought lo ya'aleh bekniyot shelo, that they wouldn't raise their prices for an individual, for one individual who's fasting. Therefore, Gemara comes to say kamashmalan that also yachidim, also individuals, are not supposed to. They're only supposed to start fasting Monday, Thursday, Monday. You know, just to know, there are actually people who still do this today, not necessarily for the rain, but they do fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. People in the they used to be during the day, and then at night they'll eat.
Right, they what's the trigger?
What's the trigger? What's the reason?
Yeah.
It's called Bahab. They used to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday, the days of Torah reading. It's a very kadosh day. They would fast in order to break. We don't do these things today. You know, my Rebbein, the way he used to teach us, is don't fast. Do Tanit Dibur. Tanit Dibur is much stronger than a fast. Because you fast, you harm yourself. What happens when you're fasting for no reason? Then you end up, you're working, you don't work as well, you cause harm to the business. You're going to learn Torah as well, you don't pray as well. When you do Tanit Dibur, you're saving so many worlds. Like the Gemara says that the whole Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. And the whole second Beit HaMikdash was because of Lashon Hara. If you hold your tongue and don't speak Lashon Hara, and you do Tanit Dibur, it's much greater. So that's why they always taught us to do Tanit Dibur. So when we were in Yeshiva, we used to, in the mornings, we'd have Tanit Dibur when we were learning. It was much greater. We do Bahab Taniyot. So it's a very big thing to take upon. Any questions?
They still do it nowadays after Sukkot and after Pesach, because they say Tamid HaChamim or the children. They go out and they have Kalud Rosh, so therefore they do
something. Any questions?
Ma'asim Eilat, Mibchinat Morit HaGeshem, Chutz La'aretz Yisrael.
Eilat is before. Considered Eretz Yisrael. It's considered within Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not. It wasn't within the biblical laws of Eretz Yisrael. They counted it within Eretz Yisrael with regards to these things.
In part of Syria, what?
You know anybody there?
Yes. There's some Syrian that came from there. That's
right. Yeah, but they're here now. They're not there.
Right? The last Syrian Jew came out. There are no more Jews in Syria. Right?
Huh? Yeah. No more Jews. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if there's any more Jews there. Okay, let's continue. Gemara continues. Tanina Minachi, we have a braita just like this. When the individuals start fasting, they fast Monday, Thursday, Monday, and they stop on Rosh Chodesh, and on Yom Tov. Those that which were written in the Megillat Ta'anit. We saw this Megillat Ta'anit. There's different days that are days of celebration that we saw in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Al Yomar Adam Talmid Ani, don't say I'm a student, Eini Ra'ui Le'yot Yachid, I'm not fitting to be an individual who fasts, I have to learn, I have to this, I have to that. And Kol Talmidei Chachamim Yechidin, all Talmidei Chachamim are individuals who should fast. Ezu Yachid, who is an individual, Ezu Talmid, who is a student, Yachid Kol Sharaui Leminoto Parnas Al Tzibur, Yachid is anybody who is able to be a leader for the community, Talmid Kol Sharaui Leminoto Dvar Alecha B'Talmudo. Only someone is a student if you ask him a dvar halacha in his learning, ve'omer, and he can answer you right away. Even the masechet that everybody's learning that year, let's say it's the daf yomi masechet, everybody's learning it, but the Tamil Chacham can answer you those questions also. Meaning, there's a very fine line over here that the Gemara is teaching us. There's a difference between a leader and a Tamil Chacham. A lot of times you can have Tamidei Chachamim, but they're not leaders. They're supposed to be, but they're not always have that fitting position to be a community leader. Oh, he's not a community leader. He can teach Torah, he can be a teacher, but he's not necessarily a leader. Then there's people who can do both, which is a higher level, but there's people who are also, they're just leaders, they're not Talmidei Chachamim. It's two different things. And you can define you can see the fine difference, what the difference is between them. Tanu Rabbanan, lo kol haratzeh la'asot atzmo deyachid ya'oseh. Not everyone who wants to be an individual who fasts can do so. Talmid oseh, or not everybody who wants to be a student can do so as well. The Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosef says oseh v'zachor latov. He says you can, and they'll remember your name for good. Lefisha ein shevach hulo elatzar hulo, because it's not meaning fast. The being a yachid is not considered a praise to you. You're causing yourself suffering. So if you say I want to be a yachid, I want to be an individual, there's no problem. You want to go and fast, you can fast. Then you're not causing you're not putting praise on your name, that it's a problem. Whereas the opposite, the case of making yourself look like a Talmid Chacham, whereas you're not really a Talmid Chacham, you cannot act like a Talmid Chacham. Either you are or you're not. And so if you are, you are, and if you're not, you're not. You cannot make yourself one unless you learn Torah. Tani Idach, the other right,
huh? Also, the biggest of the Chachamim are called Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Obadiah says Talmid Chacham. So we're always students.
Of course, we're always students. Lo kol haratzeh la'asot atzmo yachid oseh. Not everybody who wants to make themselves an individual can do so. Talmid oseh, the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. You cannot make yourself a student also. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, b'med dvarim amorim, when is this the case? But davar shel shevach, it's only with praise. But davar shel tzar, oseh v'zachur latov. When it comes to suffering, like making yourself fast like an individual, you'd be allowed to do so, and you'll be spoken about for good. She'en shevach hulo el tzar hulo. It's only considered suffering. Tanu Rabbanan, mi shaya mitane al hatzara ve'avra. If you were praying for some struggle, some suffering, and it passed by, it went away. Ala chole v'nitrapa. You're praying for a sick person, and while you're praying, you got healed. Harize mitane u'mashlim. You should finish your fast and complete it. Don't stop in the middle. Why? Because if you stop, what are you going to show? I'm stopping my fast in the middle. Why? Because I was answered. So you only pray to Hashem when something's wrong. You don't pray to Hashem when everything's good.
Maybe it's in the zechud of the fact that you accepted upon yourself.
Okay, but why should you stop your fast?
No, you should not. I'm saying because maybe the reason that you got what you wanted is because
you were answering. Yourself. Yeah, exactly. So the reason why is because you're praying for it. So don't stop your tefillot.
You said about Daniel, the time that you accepted
the fast. If you go from a place that they don't fast, to a place that they have the custom to fast, you should fast with them. If you go from a place that fasts to a place that do not fast, and you want to fast, you can fast and you should complete your fast. Shachach ve'achal, if you forgot, let's say, and you ate by accident, v'shatan, you drink. Al yitarei b'fnei tzibur, do not show yourself in front of the tzibur that like you're eating and drinking. Val yanhig idunin be'atzmo, don't indulge yourself with luxuries. Shenemar v'yom Yaakov levanav, lama titre'u. Yaakov said to his sons, he says, why do you show yourself? Meaning what? Amar lahem Yaakov levanav, אל תראו עצמכם כשאתם שבעין, לא בפני עשיו ולא בפני ישמעאל, כדי שלא יתקנאו בכם. It says, don't show yourself that you are satisfied in front of עשיו and in front of ישמעאל, so that they don't you know, envy you, they don't get jealous of you. Meaning, I think he's referring to over here when he was sending them down.
To Mitzrayim.
To Mitzrayim, to go to Egypt. Meaning, don't go with your weed and just eat in front of everyone. Everyone sees you have food, because then people get jealous of you. So he's saying you should put that on the side. So don't show yourself that you have that. Let's say you have food. If other people are fasting, you shouldn't eat in front of them.
Actually, more than that, they actually send him to Egypt. Some said he had food, but they said, but everybody else is going, you should also go with them.
Right. Okay, let's go a few more lines. Al tirgazu badarech, Amar Rabbi Elazar, this is what Yosef said to his brothers when they were leaving. Amar lehem Yosef le'echav, al titesku b'dvar halakha, shema tirgaz alechem haderech. Do not deal with this type of halakha, because maybe on the way you'll get into an argument as to what the halakha is. The Gemara says, Ini, is that the case? V'hamar Rabbi Ilai, bar berechia, ואמר רבי אלי בברכה, שני תלמידי חכמים שמהלכים בדרך, we have two תלמידי חכמים walking on the road, ואין ביניהם דברי תורה, and there's no words of Torah between them, ראויים לשרף, they are fitting to be burned, they should speak Torah on the way. Why is Yosef telling his brothers not to speak this דבר הלכה on the way home? הגמרא says, שנאמר, והיא המה הולכים, and the פסוק continues, הלוך ודבר, והנה רכב אש וסוסי אש ויפרידו בין שניהם. That they were speaking words of Torah, and says these things of fire, this chariot of fire and the horses of fire split in between them. So the Gemara says, Tama adika dibur. Why did it split them and didn't burn them? Because they were speaking words of Torah, so they had a miracle. Haleka dibur. Whereas if they weren't speaking Torah, ruin li saref, they would have been fit to burn. So how come Yosef is telling his brothers, do not learn this halakha? Where it says, Lakasha, Hale Migras, Hale Ayune. There's a difference between going over your learning, you're just discussing halakha, whereas going in the depths and trying to discuss the deep, the depth behind it and finding the source. So he was telling his brothers essentially, don't go too much into it. You're allowed to learn Torah, you're allowed to learn, you should speak halakha on the way, but don't go in the iyun, that's, you need a lot of reasoning behind, because then he was afraid that they would make mistakes and fight with each other, and also, they would, you know, mess up on the road. They would go off the path while traveling back home. Any final questions?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to pause the recording because this is not on the Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.